Okay, hello and welcome to another teleseminar sponsored by Member Solutions and Taking It to the Next Level. As you know, I'm always very excited to be on the call with you today, and I'm also glad that I'll be speaking with many of you via the internet and also in the future due to our download section in our archives at the Member Solutions Consulting area. I'm also quite flattered about how many of you know me and feel very vulnerable sometimes due to the personal information that I share on these teleseminars. And I'm probably the worst ninja ever due to the fact that I bear it all when I speak on these teleseminars. In any event, I'm excited and I'm raring to go. But before I get started on today's topic, I just really wanted to talk to everyone here today. I just got off the phone 10 minutes before I am speaking to you right now, 10 minutes ago, with one of our moms from one of my Port Jeff school up in Port Jeff, New York. And it's interesting. I have two moms. They're friends. They've been training my school for about 5 months. We in our school have two agreements. We have a three-month agreement for all of those members that are unsure. I'm sure all of you heard, well, my kid is 3 years old. I'm not willing to commit. So we have a three-month option for them to try it out so they could get a taste of what we do. And then after that, we do one-year agreements only. Well, anyway, it's come to that time where the mom has, and her friend, both moms with their two kids, have done their, you know, 3 months of agreements, and now they want to renew, but they'll only renew for 3 months again. Now, we are very hardline when it comes to this, and we don't allow people to just renew to 3 months. And, you know, this particular situation, these two moms are kind of holding it over my head. Well, there's two of us. You're going to lose us both. And if you don't bend to my will, we're not going to do it. I spoke with this woman on the phone for about 15 minutes. Of course, they're just not willing to commit because in their philosophy, they have a three-year-old. They don't know what the future holds. What if he doesn't want to go anymore? Blah, blah, blah. That's the way I hear it. You know, I look at our program, and I'm going to, for all of us out there, martial art programs as a beneficial life skill institute. I don't look at us as a glorified daycare center. I don't look at us as, you know, just another activity. For a 3 or 4 year old or a 5 or 8 year old or even a teenager, this life skills are going to be unbelievable that they're going to learn. It's going to change their lives forever, whether they stay with our program for a year or they stay with our program for, you know, 7 years. The problem is that I find that a lot of times people, parents or clients or mothers and fathers of our clients, little kids, will try to wear us down, and they kind of almost say, not in so many words, that our program is not as valuable as we as martial artists think it is. Now, there are two things that are going on in that situation. One, I believe that we haven't sold them the benefits. And the other situation is, to no matter what we say, these people are always going to look at us as just another activity. Are we willing to bend our rules and kind of give in to, you know, people who are just waving the dollar bill in front of us? And me personally, as sad as I am to see those two people go, I'm going to lose my $300 a month, I have to hold strong because we have a certain value system within our school. And I only want people who are committed to our program. So even though this is not on topic, I want you out there to understand that, you know, you have to determine what's right for you. And you have to understand that you're valuable at what you do. Imagine one self-defense technique saving a kid's life, or one of the speeches you did in class changing their life and maybe stopping them from taking drugs or getting involved with a gang or doing something that could possibly lend and, you know, get them, end them up in jail. Just because of that, whatever lessons you give, no matter how much you've charged, you've changed their lives forever. So I applaud all you guys as martial artists out there and as instructors, because I know what we go through on a day-to-day basis to keep people in our doors. Not only are we, you know, babysitters, we're instructors, we're counselors, we're psychiatrists, we're, you know, we do it all, and we get paid pennies for it. You know, I know that if I was a psychologist, after my 50 minutes, I could say time was up and just leave. Sometimes we take our personal lives and we mix them up, and we go home and we don't sleep at night because a parent insulted us or didn't like our program or pulled their kid out for some stupid reason. So I sympathize with everybody out there, and I applaud you guys for doing such a hard job. And you know what, last but not least, is that we not only have kids for a year, 2, 3 years. We're not like regular school teachers that all we have to do is deal with them for like 8 months and then we move on to the next phase. We have kids and we have to grow with them. If they're 3 years old, like I have a kid who started when he was 3, he's now 17, and I've had to change my hat many times throughout his career to appeal to him. First I was the goofy guy, next time I was the serious guy. Now I was a brother and mentor and friend. And, you know, there's so many different hats that we have to wear in order to keep somebody in our program for a long period of time. It becomes difficult. Sometimes it's almost easy to keep on moving on to the beginners. But, I applaud you. So, anyway, we're going to get involved right into our seminar. As you guys know, I'm a ninja. I practice ninjutsu. I love our topic today because it's ninja marketing tactics. I coined the phrase. In fact, I have a website called Ninja Marketing Tactics. At this moment in time, it redirects you to my takingittothenextlevel.com site because everything you need to know about marketing and running your business is on this Next Level program. It's either in our free section or in our premium section. In fact, as you know, and I've spoken about the results in the past, but I have a new one for you today. One of my clients, who's only been with us in our Next Level program for seven months, has doubled his enrollment and his billing volume. So this is incredible, and if that's not a great testimonial, then I don't know what is. But right now, oh, by the way, we just sent out an email today. It just hit today in my inbox on the topic, which is called Ninja Marketing Tactics, and it's a new kind of report format. So be on the lookout for it today, and if you're listening to this at a later date, I feel like John Connor from The Terminator. You could go back in time and find it in the Member Solutions archives. Here we go. We've read the magazines and watched the movies and have always been in awe of how the ninja were masters at many things. They were trained long and hard in techniques of espionage, weaponry, stealth, mastering medicines, healing, poisons, disguise, meditation, something called remote viewing, which is seeing and getting glimpses into the future. But now I have added on one more step, and it's marketing. Some may say, now you've done it, you've taken a martial art, you've bastardized it, you've sold it out, you've cheapened it. Now, don't think that I haven't heard this, and this is not something I've heard before from the very people that I trained with. My philosophy is simple and clear. I love what I do. I love the art of ninjutsu. In order for more people to experience my art or any other martial art, we have to be good at master and become a master at selling our systems and getting people through the doors. If you think about it with an open mind, what would the ninja have done to recruit new members to their armies or the samurai or promote a specific strategy or mentality? What would religions do, you know, to encourage people to become Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever? The answer is they would do the same exact thing. They would become masters of marketing. And heck, in fact, many of them are. And just look at the U.S. Army or the National Guard or the Marines. They now have commercials before every blockbuster movie promoting what they see as the benefits and the coolness of being in the armed forces. So why is it that we as martial artists are afraid to toot our own horn and step up and do the same thing? The first step in our ninja marketing arsenal is Ninja Marketing Tactics Lesson 1 is the referral. Referral programs are not just one fold. They most often have many layers which reach into many other systems within your school or your business. The key fact to remember is anything you do to get a recommendation, be it a testimonial or an actual name, is considered a referral. The referral is sometimes looked at a specific client telling a potential client about your business directly. Even though this is true in many cases, it's not the only source of referrals. Included in our ninja marketing tactics and today, our arsenal, we have many tiers of referrals, and I'm going to go and lay them out for you guys right now. So try to write this down, but if not, you're going to have it a similar breakdown in your inbox in the email today, but it's weapon one. Develop a specific campaign within your school. For example, in our school, campaign number one is everyone trains for free. Keeping in mind the goal is not to let people train for free and go broke, but we want to reward the student or the parent's hard work for recommending us, and they get a free year of training in our school. The first thing is the first goal is to build a culture where all clients involved are clear on what is offered and how they get there. Making sure the culture is built on a specific foundation. And if you do this, it doesn't limit the excitement, but it builds a synergy between your clients, their family, and their friends. Our ultimate goal is to help you get the ball rolling. So I'm going to give you five steps. The first step is build your referral culture. Decide on what prizes you'd like to give to your clients, Once that's established, you can easily advertise them and the program and the benefits to the client. In our school, and I'll explain how we do our program so you could copy it if you'd like, we have two separate membership packages, a three-month membership, as you heard me talk about before, and a one-year. This membership, the three-month membership, is a one-time membership, only allowing the clients to get a good feel of what we do, a taste, and to see if we're worth committing to. The rest of all my memberships are yearly. We, of course, always try to convert people right away to the yearly membership. We don't sign them into a three-month. We make sure that we put every effort forward in getting them committed to the year right away. Sometimes it's inevitable that some will want to try this three-month program. So here's how it goes. Our referral program allows for prizes in the three-month membership. For example, if someone refers someone who signs up for 3 months, they receive a series of tiered rewards. The first referral is a school t-shirt. The second referral is a school sweatshirt. The third referral is a school jacket with your logo on it. The fourth one referral is a gear package, whether it be fighting gear or whatever you want to give out. The fifth referral is a weapon packet. We then take those members that join our three-month program, and it's our goal to eventually upgrade them to a year. It's our priority and our responsibility to do this for the referring member so that they receive a credit for this yearly reward that we do. If a member joins immediately onto our yearly program, that if someone recommends someone and they join immediately onto our yearly program, they then immediately, the referring member receives a $50 signing bonus and the same tiered gift, for example, the t-shirt. So, for example, the student refers their friend who signs up for a year and they receive the t-shirt and $50. This continues onward and upward following the same gift structure and the $50 for every yearly member. At the end, if a referring member sends 5 yearly memberships our way, we then give that member a free year of training at our most basic program. It doesn't include Black Belt Club or Masters or Lead or whatever specialty programs you have, just the basic program discount. In our school, that's $1,500. The end result is you give away a space on the floor and your contract value of whatever your basic membership is worth and $200 in cash and prizes. The good news is you sell 4 new yearly memberships in your school valued at 4 times the original amount. The goal is for you to continually search out referrals. The referral program is not magic. It just doesn't appear one day and continue to draw clients. It's not something that people get excited and stay motivated forever on. It's something that is needed to be marketed and followed up on continuously. In order for you to yield continued success, it has to become a culture within your school, and you have to keep it in the front of the client's mind. Great ways to market your referral program are monthly postcards, letters that are mailed to the house, mentioning the program in class, and including it in the next few areas that I'm going to mention. In our school, to promote our referral program, every 5 weeks we do a buddy week. Buddy weeks, not buddy days, are the way to go. Normally a buddy day is a scheduling nightmare. A student may invite their friend in, but if it's a single day, and that individual day is inconvenient due to many conflicts in schedule, people won't be able to make it. Many schools only hold one buddy day per month, and this limits the amount of buddies who may attend. In our schools, we hold a buddy week consistently for the entire week, every 5 weeks. I've heard from many school owners that their buddy days wane in motivation, and this is due to the complacency that people are getting used to it. I recommend within the buddy weeks you hold contests to sweeten the pot. So here's a few ideas. Hold a buddy contest. One of my favorite quotes is, familiarity breeds contempt. So nothing could be more on target than somebody who's used to something and how bored they get over it. So the students that you get to bring buddies to your school, you have to sweeten the pot by excitement. Students join your school, and when they join your school, they're most excited about their training. So the beginners are the people to really target, but you want to keep motivating your older students. But focus on your beginners bringing in buddies as well. Once the routine sets in, the beginner's motivation starts to change. Even though they're excited about what they do, they start to take for granted many things within your school. It's your job as a school owner to continually create new stimulation in the students' minds and their families' minds. What is it that you can do to sweeten the pot, so to speak, with a buddy week? How about putting a prize in effect for people who brings the most buddies to your school? You can host different prizes such as $100 in cash or the newest video game system or $100 of passes to the movies. The ideas are endless, and I don't have to tell you. You guys could come up with 100 of them on your own, but just remember to change them every single month and sweeten the pot. The overall goal is to get excitement in your school and encourage students to bring their friends to class. A Buddy Week contest should be different every month and also should have excitement around it. Realize the more motivated you are, the more you talk about it, the more you hand out flyers, and the more you promote the event, the better the turnout will be. What is it that you are going to do, and how far are you going to go in order to make this month the best Buddy Week ever? This leads into another avenue to promote your referral program. Remember, Buddy Week's part of referrals. Referral program is when a client refers someone. Well, here we go. You've heard of me talk about this, the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls. Some of my next level clients are masters at this now. I believe wholeheartedly this is one of the most important programs within your set of school systems. Rather than go deeply into this system, your goal is during the first 10 weeks of a student's life is to call them every 2 weeks on the 2 week, the 4 week, the 6 week, the 8 week, and the 10 week. And you need to ask specific sets of questions. The goal is to find out what your clients are thinking, what they're like, what they prefer, what's the best way to communicate with them via email, mail, telephone, or all of the above. This is your time to shine. This is your time that you could give them the tools also to counter future problems. These problems which may arise that the clients don't even think of. For instance, a little Johnny doesn't want to go to class anymore. Don't feel intimidated by questions on problems or specific issues. Remember that if someone is happy with your program, then they'll definitely talk to you. Even if they're unhappy and they let you know, they're giving you the chance of changing that. The thing that you need to do is also open up a can of worms and give people ideas on what may happen in the future. You know, hey, listen, we know that Johnny loves it right now, but maybe in the future, if you run into this situation, here are 5 different ways that you can handle it. The better you are at letting a person and giving them the tools to counter these negative things, the more likely you are to keep them in your program. Don't feel intimidated. Remember, if someone is happy with your program, they're going to most definitely refer you. But if they say to you they're not happy or they're unsure of giving you a referral when you end your 2, 4, 6 week calls, you ask for a referral, and they say no, it's okay. Don't be intimidated by that. The goal is to establish trust between you and the client over the 2, 4, 6 week calls. For example, if you call on week 2 and you ask for a referral and the client is hesitant, then ask them if they can keep an eye on your program, and if you as a school owner live up to what is expected of you, on week 4, when you call them, will they give you at least 1 referral? Remember, this is about follow-up and follow-through. If you allow people to make empty promises, you're training them not to listen and not believe in what you say anyway. A relationship, whether it be a friendship, a business, or, you know, a marriage, is built on stability and trust. So our goal is during these 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls, they're not a means to, they have a means to an end, but you want to make sure that you establish this trust and that the client knows at this time you're going to be asking for a referral, so they should be preparing ahead of time. If they're hesitant, it's because you haven't sold them on the program yet. But I would say I'll call you back in 2 weeks, and can at that point you refer me 1 member. Our goal is to get 4 or 5 referrals a year from each one of our clients. This leads into another area of referrals. The birthday parties, and as you know, or if you don't know, I have a thing called the unbirthday. For lead generation, you can't find anything better. Think about it. How much would you spend in order to get a lead in the school? When I figured out my cost to generate a lead, it was just about $300 to get the phone to ring. The way I determine this is by taking all of my advertising that I have in effect and taking the total cost and dividing it by the amount of calls we get. For example, if we spend $1,000 per month and we get 10 calls and each phone call was worth $100. Now think about your birthday parties as a way to market, not as a way to get aggravated or be a babysitter. Actually, in most cases, you're getting paid to do the party. In essence, you're getting paid to market your schools. But the birthday party can become, even though they can become one of your hottest lead generators, for some schools who don't do them, basically this is a loss for you. But for the ones that are doing this and teaching children, this is essential. No matter whether a client is paying for a party or not, the party will bring multitudes of people into your school who've never tried martial arts or may not have enjoyed the benefits you have to offer. This birthday party or unbirthday is a glorified sales pitch and a great way to get people to touch, feel, and smell your school. We also have added on free parties, free birthday parties, or the unbirthday, of course, where it doesn't have to be a party for a birthday, and we give these out on a regular basis. Think about this. If you run an ad in the paper, it may cost you $250 to run the ad. It's like rolling the dice. You may get a call. You may not. If you run a real small reader ad and you give away free birthday parties or free parties, I guarantee you're going to get more calls. But the goal is to promote people into coming into your school. Your goal is to get them to come in for free, or if they pay, and now they're going to promote to 10 or 15 other potential clients. With this being said, if you become better at promoting at your birthday parties, because a lot of times people say to me, well, I had 20 kids at the party, but no one's really interested. I got maybe one interested person. The goal is to get better at promoting within your parties so that you're getting to, turning those parties into lead generation. Make sure your clients know a party is not only great for their child, but it's also their chance of getting a free year through your referral program, tying this back in to your referral program. I hope you recognize the fact that I keep coming back to this referral culture. The goal is to continually promote your school through the party as well as giving others the option to have a party. We charge an additional for goodie bags in our school, but included in our goodie bags, we supply free passes to everyone who attends a party. Secondly, for every party attendee, we offer them a free party. Every person who attends the party, they get a free party, or they get it at an extreme discount. It's up to you, within a specific time frame. The reason we call this an unbirthday is the party doesn't have to be for a birthday. It can be a glorified play date or a way for parents to gather as their children have fun. Remember, the numbers don't lie. For every free party, you may get 10 to 20 potential trial classes. It's your goal to continually market, email, and talk to those who participated. Don't think that I'm trying to sell you snake oil by saying birthday parties will be the end-all search for new students. This is in one leg of all the different things that we'll talk about that are included within your referral program. There are many other areas. You need to understand we have to continually get a consistent flow from many different avenues. But think about this. If you held a birthday party and you have 20 people attend, most people will give out a free pass and never hear from them again. We may do one follow-up phone call. Then we drop the ball. Most importantly, we have to put these potential leads in some sort of reoccurring marketing campaign. In our school, we'll do this in many ways. We'll get their email address when they come in to do the party. We'll ask them if it's okay if we send them our free email. We'll put them in an area, and we may do Stranger Danger tips for the next 5 months with a discount coupon on the email. Then we'll send them a flyer in the mail and then a personal letter as well. Our goal is to continually market to these sets of leads because the more we do, the better we get about it. Think about this. Your marketing is like a spider web. If on the web there are gaping holes due to small amounts of ninja marketing tactics, then you won't catch many flies. But if the web is tightly knit and you have many different areas of marketing out there, then you'll catch more leads. Ninja marketing tactics is about a tightly knit, ready to capture, marketing campaign, spider web. Let's talk for a minute about a catchphrase you probably have heard 1,000 times, follow up and follow through. The goal as a school owner is to be consistent in your approach to marketing. Allow me to use this as an example. Pretend your lights at your school were powered by a solar energy. The time the sun was out, you were able to charge the batteries for your lights. In a sunny environment, you have no problems reaching your goal. You have enough power to keep the lights on whenever you want. Now, out of the blue, somehow, you're not getting as much lighting, sun, due to cloud cover, and you're only producing enough electricity to keep the lights on in small amounts of time. What if this metaphor was your marketing? What if the lights were a metaphor for your marketing, and the amount of marketing that you put into effect only powered your school for small amounts of time, supplying you with small amounts of students? Also, think about it. If your marketing comes in spurts, then some months will be better than others, and some you'll have no students at all. What is it you need to do to power your marketing machine? My recommendation is to continually build your marketing arsenal. Each and every week, you have to add a new weapon, a new tool to your marketing. As you add, remember, it's important to keep the others in play and focus as much attention onto them as you can possibly do. A new weapon or a new tool every single 10 days or a week. Once you set your sights at the example of maybe, let's say, 8 different marketing tools that you'll have out there, once those are all in play, this becomes your marketing campaign. Let's take one of our examples from earlier, the birthday parties. I speak with many school owners who do these birthday parties regularly. When I speak to them about their results, they tell me that they're mediocre. They're okay. Out of hundreds of people that have come through your door, they may only sign up a handful. And this is true. But the question is, my follow-up question is, how much do you market to them afterwards, and how efficiently do you market to them? Do you look at every single person, every trial class, what we call our trial class waivers, our sheets, as a $1,500 contract? If you did, excuse me, like on those old Bugs Bunny commercials where they're stranded on a desert island and they're starving, and you know the stranded guy looks at Bugs Bunny as a chicken wing, or Bugs Bunny looks at him as a carrot. If you look at those sheets of paper as a dollar sign and a potential student, you'd think much differently about it. Here are a few steps. Here are a few steps to take the market and taking a market to past clients, whether it be a trial class who didn't sign up, or a person who came to a birthday party or an unbirthday. This is what you want to do. Number one, you want to put them into a regular marketing rotation, sending them mailers on a consistent basis. This should include putting them on your email list as well. They should receive periodic special discounts encouraging them to join your school. Change it up a bit. The next step you'll put them into would be your weekly mailing list, where you mail a postcard to them maybe every week or every 10 days. And in conjunction, your marketing approach is twofold. You want to mail to them something every 2 weeks and then email them something every other week. First, the email will be something informative about stranger danger or self-defense or diet and nutrition. The next is then you send them a hard postcard. Then a follow-up email. Then maybe a letter. Then maybe a phone call. Remember that it's a consistent approach is what you need. It's exactly what what it takes to narrow the margins of signing up and skewing the numbers in your favor. What do you do to follow? What you do to follow up is what in these margins are the. What you do in the follow up is what's going to skew the margins of numbers to signups. Remember that the better you become at this, the more people you'll get to be able to join your school. Number two, the variety in marketing doesn't mean a variety in message. You can still advertise the same benefits, but you may have to differ the approaches to getting the message across. Be clear, I don't recommend the same stuff over and over again, but I don't recommend changing your ad every single time either. Sooner or later, the client will just toss it in the garbage if it's the same thing every time, but if you slightly change it with a slightly different twist on it, it'll keep it from being out of the garbage. If it's an email, it'll keep it from being deleted. The goal is to gear your marketing towards the client's benefits. Make it something interesting. Remember, trickle marketing is a little bit the same, where we slowly put out the message, slowly build up towards getting that client to come in for a class. The goal is to set a plan in action and put it into some sort of timeline. This is where I lead into timelining your campaign. For example, I'm promoting my open tournament. I have a Long Island Open Karate Championship on this April the 27th. This is one of the biggest tournaments held on Long Island. Of course, everyone on the phone is invited, and anyone who listens to this is always invited to this event. If you want an information package, just email me. The goal to my marketing campaign for this tournament was to first send out postcards to all the schools in the New York tri-state area, all the way up to Albany. And I wanted to create awareness of this event and when it's being held and where. The next thing in my timeline was to send out 1 week later a packet to give to the school owners so they could give applications to their students. And then they would distribute them. Also included in this packet is a letter so that they know that they're invited. And then the next thing in our timeline is going to be a phone call to each and every school to find out if they got the postcard and the packet and to see if they'd be interested in attending and if they had any questions. After this phone call, we're going to wait a week, and then we're going to call them again to see if they had any more questions and to see if they're going to be attending, if they decided on attending, and if we could do anything to help them promote articles on competition, how they could sell the program to their students, and so on and so forth. You see, in this campaign, it's about consistency, and it's our timeline and our action plans. Our goal is to be in the forefront of their minds and so that they're thinking about our event all the time. If this school is a non-competitive school, maybe we want them to come and watch and see what it's all about. But the more we do, the more consistent you are with your marketing, the better the results are going to be. Some statistics show that it takes 6 times for a person seeing the same ad to make any lasting impression. If you're doing direct mail, the rule of thumb is 7 times before you can make any impact. Of course, there are those people who will respond immediately, but this is due to the perfect timing. They may be open right there at the minute they receive your marketing to the marketing suggestion because it was something that they were in the market for at that moment. If they're not, the goal of consistent marketing is for you to penetrate and break down that wall, that block, that barrier, so they become open to your suggestion of trying out your product. I'm going to give you an example. For the last 3 years, I've been in the market for a car. I had a car on a lease, and I also have my own sports car. It's been sitting in the garage during the winter. So every time a television commercial came on and there was another deal about a car, it absolutely meant nothing to me. All of a sudden, my car is coming up for lease in June, and I'm in the market for a new car. Now, my ears are perked every single time I see a commercial, and that commercial on a car is of interest to me. Why now? Well, because now I'm ready. Now that car is in my sight. So like I talked about before, if someone's not interested, it takes a while to create a spark of interest before they start to get ready to buy. For all those people, if you could reach every client who was interested in joining a martial arts school at that moment, you'd have a school filled with hundreds and hundreds of people. Remember, my mind was shut off, and I was not interested at all. I was filtering out all the white noise when I heard car commercials. In fact, I'd fast-forward through them to get to my show, but now my goal is to find a car. So every commercial, every mailer, every radio spot I hear about vehicles is of high importance. They're all in my sights, and I'm willing to listen. This leads back to that consistency of our marketing plan. The more well thought out our marketing campaign is, the better the results will be. Remember, even a poor marketing campaign is better than none at all. Or a low-cost marketing campaign, but well thought out, is something that's going to lead you, give you a lot of sales leads, and it may be the difference between success and failure. Before I continue on, Kathy, I wanted to open up for questions, and again, I've been speaking for 40 minutes nonstop. As you guys know me, I could do that. So let's open up for some questions, and I'm not logged on yet, Kathy, so let's see if I could do that. But maybe you could feed me some of the questions real quick. So let's open up the lines real quick.
Okay, the lines are open for you. I don't see any questions yet.
Hey, Sensei Ali, it's Mark.
Hey, Sensei Mark, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
Great, very good. Did you have a question?
Yeah, actually I do.
Okay.
One of the things that, I mean, we've spoken about it a few times is the referral program, and I've been having a very, very difficult time getting people to refer people.
Right.
And I'm probably missing a whole bunch of boats and probably missed the ship going over and everything else. But any suggestions on how you can get more of that, what you refer to as the referral culture? Because I guess obviously I'm not getting the referral culture.
Well, you know what? It's like this. You know me and you know my schools, and I get a lot of referrals, not nearly as many as I used to get, but of course it's, you know, the massive numbers of students. The more students you have, the more chance you are going to get referrals. But I know, and you and I have had private conversations, that in our area, the market has changed quite dramatically. I think, though, that the goal is to get your clients to understand that without them referring other members, it's hard for you to keep continually growing your school and staying in business so that they have to feel like they're a part of what you're doing. So the way that we develop this is through many different areas. For example, like I said, that trickle marketing on email. I just spoke with someone yesterday who I actually have my own coach, and we sat down and she said to me, how many times do you forward or do you have a forward area on your email newsletter that people can forward this to a friend, and how much do you highlight that? So if you have many areas set up where it's easy for someone to just refer your newsletter, refer you to the school, the more you have in place, the more referrals you get. And asking quite directly for those referrals are probably where you're going to get the most of them. I mean, literally saying, hey, Mrs. Jones, are you happy with what we're doing? If you are, I would really appreciate that. Maybe you could go back, go through your day timer or whatever it is, and find me 2 referrals. I'm not going to harass them. In fact, if they say they're not interested, they're off our email list. I'm only going to call them once, and I'm going to say that you thought it might be nice if we offered them a free class. If they're willing to do that, I mean, if they believe in you, they should be willing to give you two referrals just like that. I have an insurance broker that every time he meets with me, quarterly, whatever it is, at the end of each meeting, I know he's going to break out his blank sheet of paper. He turns it around, slides it across the desk, and he says, can you refer anyone to me that you know in the business that might use my services? And I laugh and chuckle under my breath because he's doing exactly what I do. But lo and behold, I always find new people for him. And he may or may not get them as clients, but like I said, you got to build this referral culture where people think of the referral as not a favor to them, to you only, but as a way of them building, you know, the clientele for their... So, and also to see that they're being a part of helping your school survive. Does that make sense? Are you doing any of those things?
Yeah, to a point. Actually, what I'll do is I'll give you a call either tomorrow or Friday, and maybe we'll sit down over breakfast and go over it a little bit more in depth.
Really, because there are multitudes of steps that we want to work on. So, yeah, let's do that. Anyone
okay.
else? Any other ideas? Any questions, Kath, on the web?
No questions on the web as of right this moment.
Okay, and no one else? Anybody else out there want to ask a question quick?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Winfred.
How are you, sir?
Doing great. I have a question on these birthday parties.
Right.
Much like the caller right before me, we are not that successful in converting leads at birthday parties.
Well, the thing that
know.
You have to do... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to get a little bit more detail. How do you approach them?
Well, let me ask you this. Like, what is your approach to sell a free class? Is your birthday party, like, for example, this is, let's pretend that this was QVC or one of those shows that are selling an item. And the show comes on, you watch the show, and they don't talk really throughout the entire show about anything about the item. Then at the very end, they say, if you'd like, you could try out a free day of using this item, you know, quickly as they're walking out the door. The sales are going to be down. So my point being is that your birthday party should be a glorified sales pitch, sales, you know, presentation of your school. You know, a lot of the keywords, like when you guys join our school or if you come back for a trial class, you're going to get a free uniform and a free belt or you're going to get a free this or a free that. And then, you know, mentioning all the different benefits. And then when the kids come out into the lobby, if you have a separate area where the parents, like I do in my school, where the parents sit, that they're watching on monitors, maybe bring the kids out and have them do the, you know, the positive motivational creed that you taught them. And then say, wow, everybody, look how exciting this is. And I wanted to offer you guys today, if you come in for a free trial class, we're going to be giving off X amount of dollars. You're going to sweeten the pot a bit. Now, just because those people didn't sign up today, like I said before, this is your opportunity now to consistently mail to them, email to them, call them, and promote your school. You've gotten somebody who had fun in your school, somebody who took the effort to come down, who knows what your school is like, they're one step closer than a cold call to signing up. Now, depending on how consistent you are with your approach, right? How much can I ask you, do you market to the people after they've come to your parties?
Yes, we do.
How much?
They usually get into regular circulation, which means five times.
Okay, so you plug them into a database and you'll mail to them five times afterwards.
Yes.
Is it specific to the birthday party, or is it the ad
agency
general kind of thing?
Generic.
Yeah, see, so that's where I would suggest is to make it a little bit more of a, you know, privileged kind of mailer. Like, since you've been a party and you came with Johnny, you're going to get 10% off, and you've been here before, and kind of like treat them differently. And then consistently, you know, sending five mailers is really not what you need. You need a variety of mailers. I don't know if it's just one generic mailer or if you send out four different ones, but whatever you're doing, you need to change it up and sweeten the pot. One, maybe give them a discount for $50. The next one, $100. Then maybe back down to $50. So, and then the next one, $150. So that you're constantly, you know, sweetening the pot to get them through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then make a phone call again. A lot of times the people I talk to, they do one or two phone calls, and then that's it. They're done. They're just in a generic mailer. Every once in a blue moon, if we're on top of things, we send them a mailer. Most of the time, that's less than more. So I would consistently send out and then get better at group sales, intro sales to the group. You know, there are guys out there that are masters at doing group intros. I mean, they sign up 20 people at a party. That is 25 kids. maybe get one of their programs or buy a book on selling to the masses all at one time and get better at that. Or whoever's doing your party, make sure they get better at it. Those kids have to leave totally excited and happy. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
Well, I hope that helps. Anybody else? Any other questions? Okay. My goal is to continually talk about this ninja marketing tactics. I think that it's imperative for us to understand that if we were marketing on a consistent basis, even in small amounts, but maybe 8 different marketing tools. Like, I'll give you an example. Right now, in effect, in my schools, we have about 80 lead boxes around our 4 locations. Regularly, those 80 lead boxes are bringing in about, and I'm not going to, be over-exaggerating on this, I'd say probably about 20 to 22 leads a week. 22, let's just go on a conservative end, let's say 15 times 4 weeks, that's 60 leads. Even if 5 of those leads are good or 10 of those leads are good and they turn into a student, that's 10 students a month. Even if they turn into 5 students, I'm happy. That's one leg of our marketing campaign. The second thing is, for the next 8 weeks, starting the beginning of next week, we're sending out 4,000 pieces of high-end mailers, postcards with a special message, and we're going to do this for 8 weeks with a different message within the same marketing campaign. And we're sending that out to a highly qualified list. For example, people who have children, who live within a 3-mile radius of our school, who have, an income of a certain amount, who live in a house that's worth a certain amount. We took out of our 28,000 households in West Islip only 1,000 of those people that fit a highly, sorted criteria. And we're going to mail out postcards for the next 8 weeks consistently. Actually, we have four postcards. And we're going to mail out one, then the next week another, the next week another, the final week the fourth one, and then we start again with the campaign again for a consistency of 8 weeks. We then will start our television campaign, which we're shooting a campaign for our commercial right now, which is totally congruent with the postcard mailers that we're doing and the lead boxes with all the same message on it, and we're going to shoot that campaign out to our local areas. I don't recommend TV to everybody because unless you have the money and the budget behind you and you're doing other marketing, then it's going to be very costly and ineffective for you. So those are the 3 areas. Again, we have our postcards, we have our lead boxes, we have our television. As we speak, though, we have a full-fledged running referral culture in our school. We also have this ongoing birthday and unbirthday program set up that we do. We have 4 ongoing programs right at this moment as we talk in different schools that we teach after-school programs. And we do a consistent, every 4 months or every 3 to 4 months, we do a mailer to all old students that have come and joined our school and quit, all old trial classes that either called up but didn't show up or showed up and didn't join, and people who just showed interest at some time or another, we do a mailer to them. Check this out. The last mailer we did, we sent out a mailer tube, and in the tube we had a white belt, and on the white belt we had a postcard rubber band to it. And I don't have it in front of me, I wish I did, but the wording was something like, we realize at our school that we have to establish trust, and it all begins at the white belt level. So take this white belt as a token of our appreciation, and please call us. We're offering you $150 off any of our programs to come to our school. And we sent out this tube, which cost us about $3 per person, to every one of our students who had quit or tried out a class and didn't join within the last 12 months. We've gotten some great response from it. So that's one other area of marketing. The other thing that we do on a consistent basis through our marketing program is our business appreciation, where we put our lead boxes in the stores. We actually take their marketing material and we put them in our Welcome to the Family packets. We also try to go out and encourage every one of those businesses to give out free passes to all their clients as well as all their employees. So that's another leg of stuff that we do on a regular basis with all our clients. So right there you're looking at 5 or 6 different ongoing marketing campaigns. And all throughout I have a prospect database and I have a client database and I have old student database on my emails which I do through my email program, and I send out at least a monthly newsletter, and I send at least one or two advertisements to the prospects via email. So those are all the different areas that we have in our schools that are going on a regular basis. Now, do we have slow months? Absolutely. Do we have busy months? Yeah, we do. Lately in Long Island, though, it's probably mediocre at best when it comes to return on investment as far as marketing dollars. But we have a whole new marketing campaign in effect with this new mailer and the TV that we're trying to skew the numbers in our favor. What I'd like to see all of you do is, if you're interested, if anyone on the line today would like, I have a action marketing worksheet, and I've offered this a million times on teleconferences. Just email me, and I'll send it to you. It's a PDF, and it's kind of a simple little thing that I put together, but it's certainly without a doubt helps you stay focused in your marketing approach. You could put timeline on there, your message on there, the medium that you want to put on there, like what area are you going to advertise? Is it going to be postcard? Is it going to be referrals? Is it going to be business appreciation? Whatever it may be, you could set it out and you could stick to it so that you're consistent in your approach of marketing. Okay, I'm going to say, does anyone have any questions on that so far? Because I think we're still opened up for questions.
We have some questions from the web.
Okay, yeah, could you give them to me?
Sure. We've got John Bade from Melbourne, Australia with us.
John's a next-level client, and he just joined. So welcome, John. That's incredible.
And I think you just touched base on this after he submitted the question, but the question was, are you backing up the postcards that you send out with an email campaign?
Absolutely, but I don't have every single email for every person that we're doing postcards to. Email's a little trickier to get a hold of rather than direct mail addresses. I'm actually, I have a membership with Sales Genie where I could pull up any household in around any radius to any criteria and I could mail to them. But to get the email, we could only do an email blast. But yes, we are. Whatever emails we have, we are. And that is a great, great question because, again, you want to be fresh in the person's mind and you want to be able to do both if you have the availability to do that. So I hope that answered that question.
Sure.
And what else can we
add? Eric from Gainesville wants to know if he can get a hold of your drop system letter from Taken to the Next Level, or I guess he's asking where he can get a hold of a copy of your drop system letter.
The letter that's going to go out to our clients for the to market the school, you mean? What's the drop system?
I think he must be referring to your lead boxes, like when you work your lead boxes. I believe that's what he means by a drop system letter. If not,
so meaning that when
in.
I call the lead box leads, the script. Yeah, you know what? Do me a favor. I think the best thing to have him do is email me. And email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, ninja, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, ninja, at AOL.com. And anyone on this line at any time, if you have any requests for anything, just email me. And if I have it available, I'll just send you over a PDF of it. If it's something that I don't have available, I'll see if I can just write something out real quick or what we do, and I'll send it to you. So, yeah, I'll definitely get that to you. How about some other questions?
Okay, I don't have another question. I just have there's a request maybe for another time.
Okay.
Gary from American Jiu-Jitsu would like to have information on a retention program.
Well, everything that I just said, and we'll definitely do that, is similar to retention. Think about this, and Jerry's a good friend of mine, and he actually is a next-level client through his teacher as well. And retention is all about, and we have so many retention tools we use on Next Level that are just amazing. But that first thing I talked about, the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls, is an absolute retention tool. If you're on the phone on a regular basis and communicating with a client, they're less likely to quit. The second thing that I consider the most important retention tool is education. Not just educating the student, because sometimes the students are children, but the key is to educate the parent or the paying client, the one that's going to make the decision to keep them in our school. And we want to educate them on all the different tools that it'll take to keep that student progressing, to keep them involved, and we want to educate them on the things that they're going to come up against. For example, we don't want people to be blindsided. A lot of times when parents are blindsided because little Johnny loves the program, all of a sudden one day he goes, I don't want to go, Mom, I'm tired. And Mom goes, okay, bud, no problem, then you don't have to go today. Then the next day he goes, I don't want to go anymore, I have a stomach ache, you know, and then all of a sudden it becomes bigger. Rather than her knowing what to do, she'll probably just take her best shot and say, okay, we'll take a break from the school for a week, and next week when you're feeling better, we'll get you back. Lo and behold, we find out that he doesn't want to go because he was supposed to do grappling that day, and now the week turns into two, and all of a sudden mom throws her hands in the air and says, I don't want to force my kid to go. All of a sudden they quit. Well, if we prepare them ahead of time and say, listen, when Johnny does this, or he may do that, or he may do this, here's what I want you to try to do. Or if you don't really have a thing to tell them, have them call you immediately. Make that the rule of thought. If Johnny's giving you a hard time, call me, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to do to get him motivated. Or tell me so that I can motivate him in class with a few high fives, or put him in the front to stretch the class, so on and so forth. There's a host of different things that we want to do. Maybe do a free private lesson for a half an hour. Whatever it may be, there's many, many different things we could do for retention. I have them in Next Level. So Jerry, if you're interested, call me and we'll get together for lunch, or we'll do an email back and forth and I'll show you where to look for that. Anyone else? Okay. We're almost out of time. Most importantly, I want to just really quickly go over a few of those key points, and I'm not going to go over them in detail. Number one was, most importantly, get some sort of campaign in your school, like that Everyone Trains for Free campaign, and build it around your referral system and build a referral culture. I know that it's easier said than done. Wow, all I need to do is give people a prize and they're going to come running through the doors with all their friends. Remember, people are funny. They don't realize that they have more, they know more people than they think. There's a rule out there, I forget what it is, but I forget the 250 rule. Everybody knows 250 people, and if you multiply those people by the people they know, it's like 50,000 people in the end that everyone knows. I mean, all we want is 1,000 of those people in our schools, right? So what we need to do is try to find out who they know. You know, we want to give them ideas on who they could be thinking of as a referral. Did you know, Mrs. Jones, that you could call the PTA? Oh, you're involved with the PTA? Hey, I'd like to give you free passes for the next PTA dinner. Or I'd like to do a women's self-defense seminar for all the PTA moms. Or I'd like to, talk to you about the Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, whatever. You know, people don't realize that their mailman is a referral, that their friends at work are referrals, that the neighborhood bully is a referral, that, all the people that are problem people, those are referrals. I mean, anybody and everybody you could refer to. I just think that people feel like they're going to put their neck on the line, and if they have to give you their number, that's one thing. If those people are so afraid to give out their phone number and address, have them continually give passes, free passes, VIP passes, and all those things, and you'll get more and more people through the door. Make this a focus of your marketing. If you focus on this and you give it that campaign mentality, Everyone Trains for Free, and you tie it into your referral culture, you tie it into your buddy weeks, you tie it into your 2-4-6-week calls, you tie it into your birthdays and your unbirthdays, come on now, tell me out there that you don't think that you could get 20 leads a month. If you made this your focus, you have to get 20 leads a month. I don't care how many students you have in your school. You could have 10 in your school, 10 students. You've got to get at least 20 leads a month. Convert 2 to 5 of those. If you're only converting 2, get better at converting. Learn, read about sales, phone sales, all that stuff, and get better at the sales process. See, again, I'm over time right now, and I'm going to end in a second, I think. But we have a goal, and if we're bad at signing people up, it's not about getting more people through the door so you can still stink at signing people up and have more people sign up. What the goal is to get less people through the door and sign more of the ones up that you get. So my goal is to become better at sales. My goal is to become better at the telephone. My goal is to become better at the sign-up process. And then our goal is to be the most charismatic, dynamic person on the floor so those people stay. Then my next goal is to have a really good retention program in place. Then my next goal is to have a really good upgrade program in place, and so on and so forth. Anyway, again, my email is renshi.ninja@aol.com, renshi.ninja@aol.com. Eventually, I have to upgrade that because I'm a Kiyoshi now. But I hope you guys will get in touch with me. And I believe Kathy, Member Solutions, is offering a free month have taken it to the next level as well. So they just got to, you guys just got to contact them at their office. Anyway, I'm happy to be on the phone with you guys. Kathy, thanks once again. Everybody, thank you for being on the line. And I'll talk to you over email and one-on-one calls and next month.
Thank you, Rally.
Thanks, Emily. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.